In the matter of the story of King Dana, spoken at the Krishna Balaram temple at Bangalore, Karnataka, on this 8th of August, 505, Gorapto, 1991, Kristabda. Om Tat Sat. The Brahmanas are going to King Vena and explaining to him about his duties to try to encourage him to stay on the path of religion. This is certainly the duty of the Brahmanas, is to give guidance to the government. The Brahmanas have gone to King Vena because, being a very opulent king, being in a great dynasty, he also got special blessings. And he was able to get even some mystic powers just by virtue of being a king. But because he was by nature cruel, evil, envious, he insulted great personalities. And then he gave an edict that all Brahmanas could never perform any sacrifice. They were not allowed to give charity. He stopped all type of religious rituals. Then the king gave the order that everyone should worship him as the embodiment of God on earth. So the Brahmanas discussed amongst themselves and saw how the people were suffering under this false incarnation. So they decided to go to him and first explain to him what his duties were. They were very angry at King Vena, but they thought, let us first convince him to do the right thing. If he doesn't accept, then using our mystic power, we'll burn him to a crisp. We'll kill him. So, controlling their anger, they went and spoke very sweetly to the king, telling him about the duties of a king according to the Vedic literatures. Nowadays, governments are making constitutions, and according to which government is in power, they change the constitution if they have enough majority. But in the previous era, the constitution was already given by Manu, and everyone had to follow. No matter which king would come, he had to follow the codes of Manu, and he would rule his kingdom in accordance to those rules and according to the advice of the Brahmanas. So this King Vena was a renegade. He was going against all the codes of Manu. He was giving his own interpretation. Although it says that king is Naradeva, he's the representative of God in one sense, or man. A kind of demigod on earth. But that was to engage the people in yajna, to engage them in pious activity, to give a strong government, to get rid of the thieves and rogues. So this is being explained to the king, that he should perform his yajnas, he should engage the citizens in doing yajna, he should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and all the devas will be satisfied. He'll be prosperous. His next life he'll take birth in Swarga or in Vaikuntha. They're giving him very good advice. It's doubtful whether he'll accept it. But in any case, they're giving their good advice. This was a duty that from birth the Kshatriya should be trained. Actually, King Vena should never have been coronated. Ministers and other persons objected to his being coronated as a king. Although he was the eldest son, he was not qualified. Therefore, persons were objecting. Whenever the Brahmanas blindly follow religion without actually seeing whether the purpose of religion is being followed or achieved, this creates difficulties. The Brahmanas blindly follow the strict rule that oldest son should be coronated, but there are other rules. If just like Dhritarashtra was the oldest son, but he was blind, so he was not coronated. If this person is mentally unsound, if he's got certain defects, he should not be coronated. But they didn't follow those exceptions. They followed the general rule, which is eldest son, without observing the specific restrictions. Because King Vena, as a child, he was very cruel. When he was playing with his school friends, sometimes in play he would kill his friends. He was such a violent person. So the ministers knew that this person was completely unqualified to be a king. But still the Brahmanas had installed him, and now they're suffering. The so-called king is creating so much trouble. So now they're trying to correct their mistake by giving him good instruction. But actually the system is that someone should be qualified. Kshatriya training should be from birth. They should be trained to be a proper king. They should have those qualities in their own character, chivalrous, powerful. Just like Maya, in the history of Rome, they say was that one Roman emperor, Nero. While Rome was burning down, he was playing his flute or playing his fiddle. He was a nut. So he put in a crazy man as a ruler that you're bound to suffer all type of difficulties. But if a proper person is a ruler, then all these good features are there. He should be very strict. He should be of high integrity. The advantage of a monarch is that being a permanent post, if he's good, then he takes it that this country is my lifelong duty. So he can, he'll not try to steal from the kingdom and take it somewhere else. The kingdom is already his. Nowadays, you find scandals. Ministers and presidents are siphoning off huge amounts of money and putting it in Swiss banks because they are afraid sometime they may be deposed by revolution or by popular election. So they're trying to hide the money somewhere. Previously, the kings were not worried about being deposed like that. They had to worry about assassination or foreign defeat. They would keep their wealth in their kingdom. For emergency, they might keep some national wealth elsewhere. That'd be a very small amount, relatively speaking. Prabhupada explained how during the Mughal rule, even the Mughal emperors, they settled down in India and they used the whatever gather, spending in India, building their palaces, buying their clothes, their jewelries, everything. So the money was kept in India. But when the British rule came, the Britishers didn't allow any British people to settle in India, because they wanted to avoid the British from doing a revolution against them. Previously, most of the colonies, the people who went and colonized from the homeland, they were the ones to create the revolutions. America was colonized by English. The people who lived in America, after some generations, naturally they felt more attached to America than England. So then they revolted against England. Similarly, the Spaniards settled in South America, but after some time, they revolted against the king and created their own governments. So seeing this tendency, England said that no English could stay in India. We are just controlled by rotation, by viceroys and governors and ICS officers. So in this way, a few hundred Englishmen were controlling the entire country. But they are taking all the wealth back to England. So this way, India was such an opulent place, even during the Mughal rule, its opulence didn't diminish. But during the British rule, all the crown jewels, so much wealth was drained on to foreign countries. During the democracy, there's accusation that the same thing is going on to Switzerland. Although there's no one can prove anything, even after so much investigation. But here we can see from the descriptions of the sages that the ruler, his duty was as head of state. He would have prime minister, he would have the ministers, he would have the power to take any action against them if they were stealing from the people. If someone, a government servant, was found stealing, he had to either pay a fine 8 times what he stole, or otherwise, if it was very grave, he could also be killed. So we can see that there was the Kshatriyas also had to take training under the Guru. Just like Krishna went to the ashram of Sandapani Muni. When he came back from Vrindavan, Vasudev and Devaki thought, okay, we had to see that our son is properly trained. So he should be a brahmachari and live in the ashram and serve the Guru. So although Krishna was a great, even by material standards, he was a great king. By spiritual standards, he is the Supreme Lord. But he's playing the part of a king. He was living in the ashram of the Guru, gathering firewood, taking the classes. This way he was just like any other brahmachari. He was doing his devotional service, serving Guru, serving the Supreme Lord, serving himself. He was playing this part in his leelas. So he was showing the example of what every person of high character should do. The brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, they should engage in brahmacharya life. Nowadays we send people to college, university, give them a modern education, but we neglect their character development. We don't give them an opportunity to live as a brahmachari. Actually, everyone should live some years as a brahmachari, properly trained up in the dharma. Then after that, they may remain as a brahmachari or become sannyas, or they may get married and continue their activities as a devotee, grihastha. This is the system handed down since a time immemorial. So in our Krishna conscious movement, we are also following the system that people should live some time as a brahmachari. Then according to their nature, they should either take sannyas or they should be married. And they should continue on with their religious life. This training of serving in the ashram is very important. It builds up the proper character. This King Vena, he never accepted such austerity. He was a sense gratifier from the beginning. So although he got the high power due to his karmas, he very quickly was removed. He committed so many sinful activities that his karmas were finished. And he had to suffer the reaction. Actually, people who are trained, we see how the brahmanas, they're giving advice to the king. From one point of view, those who are in the parliament or in the assemblies, they should be persons of high character. They should be highly qualified persons who are following sattvic standards, brahminical standards, whatever their birth may be, but they should be living by those high standards. And thus, being saintly people, they should make the laws for the government, guide the government. The government should be highly trained, courageous people. At least the head of state should be Kshatriya type, assisted by other qualified ministers who are all serving for the upliftment of the entire country, for the upliftment of the state, not simply for their personal, this one, profit motive. If they do good, they should continue to serve. If they are found deficient, they should be replaced. If they are found dishonest, they should be punished. This was the system. So a very successful prime minister, he may for his whole life be prime minister. If someone was dishonest, he would be punished. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's discussion about someone who had cheated the king, cannot pay the proper taxes. So King Pratap Rudra had, he was ordered that he should be hung for his thievery unless he paid back the taxes he stole. So there were very strict rules and these should be enforced. Because the king was neutral, he would be respected by the people. Nowadays, in many countries of the world, the police cannot protect one from the thieves. Thieves are rampant everywhere. So in this way there is a lot of insecurity. So here in this purport, the verse explains that the reason the government should take taxes is to protect the citizens. If the government is too top-heavy, too much bureaucracy, that citizens will be overtaxed and the whole national progress will be inhibited. According to Manu's code, government has the right to take 25% of the income as tax. That's the only right they have. In addition, they can have poll, certain the road tax, toll tax, things like that. But today, there's so many taxes, the citizens are overburdened. Income tax, wealth tax, excise tax, import duty, export duty, sales tax, so many kinds of taxes, inheritance tax, so many taxes that practically speaking the people are overburdened by tax. Either they have to keep their wealth hidden, or one person told me that I was paying all my taxes. Said I was, after paying all the taxes, I hardly had any income left. Then the income tax inspector said, everybody is cheating, you must also be cheating. So you have to pay more tax. And he gave, even although I was paying all my taxes properly, he gave me additional, this one, saying that you must be cheating, like everyone else, you pay more tax. So after that, I'm losing money. You cannot be honest. Another disciple told me he was paying his tax. The income tax inspector said, what are you doing? If you pay your taxes properly, then the government will think why everybody else is not paying so much. You just pay us some money and we'll give you, you pay less tax and give us some money, and that way it'll look balanced with everyone else. Don't put us in trouble and pay so much tax. Then government will wonder why everyone else is not paying so much. So many things are going on. The government makes vigilance. What do they call it? Vigilance? So vigilance means people, we hear that government officers will pay big bribe to become vigilance officers. Because you get more bribes as vigilant officers. All the criminal government servants who pay the vigilant officer bigger bribe to keep it quiet. So like this, cheating over cheating. Because there has to be at least one person somewhere in the government who takes it. This is my duty, I have to see no money steals. And he's secure from being removed. He's a person with high integrity, has no other motive. So that way the king system was supposed to do that if it was properly done. We can see here even in previous Yuga, one king degraded. In Kali Yuga, many kings were degraded. So the system was breaking down. But the theory of the system, we can see it was quite effective. In practice, there has to always be checks and balances. The previous time, the brahmanas were so powerful that if they want to, they can kill the king by mantra. So this is what they're going to do in the future. When the king Venu, if he doesn't, Vena doesn't accept their advice, they'll do some yajna and kill him. So similarly, if the brahmanas, those brahmana not just by birth brahmana, those who are actively high character, they're high morality, well-learned persons, if they're the legislature, they can impeach whoever the government is. If the government is doing a good job, let them stay and continue to do it. This kind of system could be created more in line with the Manu Sanghita. All over the world, this experiment of democracy is going on. But everywhere, there are scandals of different ministers stealing money. Since they only have a short term, 4 or 5 years, they think I have to get a big income within this time so I can spend a lot for my re-election. So the whole system is geared for corruption. There needs to be a re-evaluation how to avoid this type of corruption. People do well, they're not allowed to continue, so there's no incentive not to steal, except fear of being caught. Anyway, the other aspect is that the citizens, they elect their own government. So the citizens are God conscious, if they're a high standard, they'll also elect a proper government. If the citizens are degraded, then they'll be attracted by the promises of other degraded people. And they'll elect. Sometimes governments, they give so many promises when they're elected. They say, we can never give you all the things we promised. It's completely impossible. Don't dream about that. So these things are going on. So you said, at least we can get a perspective here. What was the Vedic system? Take the good aspects. Now our system is far away from this. But in any case, the duty of the government, whatever the system may be, is to see that there's no thieves and rogues. There's no people stealing. Unless people are willing to work for the welfare of the government, unless there are people who are actually dedicated to think for the welfare of others, let them get a proper income. But let them work dedicatedly for the welfare of the government, of the people. Unless that's established, then government will never be able to see the country go forward. So this is what we're seeing here, this King Vena. The king was supposed to be working on behalf of God. He's supposed to be thinking that if I do my duty properly, I'll be awarded and be able to go to Swarga. So he's also, I'll be able to go back to Godhead, depending whether he's just a devotee or whether he's a pious man. That was his idea. And he was considering that he's supposed to see the praja, his citizens, like children. There are examples of kings who even had their own sons killed if they were doing dishonest things. Krishna was afraid that after his departure, the jadus were so powerful, they would create havoc in the world. They would become proud and they'd become a disbalance. So even he had his own family members kill each other by his own mystic arrangement and completely emptied out the world from all the yadus and let the natural thing go on. So the king was very concerned with the welfare. Just as Krishna, he is concerned with everyone's welfare. So the king was considered to be the representative of Krishna in the sense that Krishna is the protector of everyone. The king was supposed to protect his citizens. Now there's hardly kings in the world, only constitutional heads. Are there some monarchs? Some dictators, are there some elected governments? Whatever the system may be, that whatever it says here as duty of king, we can just take that duty as head of state. Same duty will be there. Their duty to protect the citizens, to engage everyone in sacrifice. Unless the country is engaged in spiritual activities, there will not be a prosperity. There will always be obstacles in life. So, the sacrifice that should be performed in the age of Kali is the Harinama Sankirtan Yajna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. If everyone is performing this Yajna, then the effects of Kali will be kept in place. We have to see the purpose of the Vedas. And the purpose of the Vedas is fulfilled. The whole purpose of the Vedas, as explained by Krishna, is to know Him. To know Krishna is the purpose of the Vedas, to reach Krishna, to serve Krishna. So in this age of Kali, people need to be engaged in chanting the holy names. This will bring them to the perfection of the Vedic age. You can see also that the danger of being in government service or of being a king is that one can become very proud. This way, the Brahmanas, they kept their superior position. When Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, the king Prataprudra wanted to go to see him, but Lord Chaitanya refused him. But you cannot come to see me because the king are engaged in so many politics and materialistic activities. So as a sannyasi, if I am seen with a king, this will reduce my position of a spiritual personality. So he wouldn't let King Prataprudra come. But the king, he was a great devotee. So sometimes this was also a test. The kings are very proud, but if they go to a brahmana, they go to a sannyasi, go to a guru, they have to go very humbly. So the king, he's humbly submitted that what is the use of a kingdom if I'm not able to get the blessings of the devotees, of the brahmanas, of the sannyasis, then I better that I commit suicide and leave the kingdom. Leave this body, what is the use? So he made so many humble presentations to Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya was moved by his sincerity. Also by the fact that King Prataprudra has swept the road before Jagannath. It's a humbling himself. By doing service to Krishna, then he attracted the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So then Lord Chaitanya, however, he said, well, I cannot see the king, but I can see his son. You send a prince here. And so Lord Chaitanya blessed the prince, gave him some prasadam, cloth, and this way, since the son is like the father, the son is a representative of the father, he was blessing the father. So, at the first, Lord Chaitanya got the letter from the king saying that he commits suicide if he doesn't get any mercy from Lord Chaitanya. So he gave this mercy. Then when Rath Yatra came, King Prataprudra, he swept the road before Jagannath. That moved Lord Chaitanya that this king is a great devotee. Because generally the kings, they keep very proud. They won't go and sweep the road. But he's gone and swept the road before Jagannath. That shows that he's very dedicated to the Lord. He's a devotee. So then Lord Chaitanya, he became softened to give the king some mercy. But still, he doesn't want to give a bad example that devotees compromise their principle just for material opulence sake. So, one time, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya disguised the king as just an ordinary Vaishnava. He came with dhoti and tilak, no royal embellishments. And when Lord Chaitanya was taking rest in the garden after Rath Yatra, the king Pataprudra, he was singing bhajans, Krishna bhajans to Lord Chaitanya. Then he went and was massaging the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this day he was very ecstatic. And Lord Chaitanya just played as if he didn't know who this person was, what was going on. But then somebody said this was a king or something like that. But when he came conscious again, he jumped up and said, no, what are you doing? He formally kept some distance. But because he was doing devotional service, he actually allowed him to get some special mercy. So in this way, the brahmanas and sannyasis, they kept a position aloof from the kings. They would go to give guidance if they were brahmanas. But even a sannyasi in the previous time was not allowed to go in a king's court, generally speaking. It was quite restricted. They would only go for giving spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, they won't go and deal with the ordinary. The brahmanas would give guidance how to manage the kingdom, but the sannyasis would not sit in the court. They normally wouldn't be the Rajguru. There may have been some exceptions in Kali Yuga, but that was the previous system. Srinivas Acharya, he was a brahmana, lifelong brahmachari. But the king of Bona Vishnupur requested to become his disciple. He didn't know what to do, because he wanted to take sannyas. He went to Narahari Thakur and asked his advice. Narahari Thakur told him to get married, you be the Rajguru, you guide the kingdom to be God conscious, to be Krishna conscious. So Narahari got married and he also became the Rajguru and established many Krishna temples in Bankura, this kingdom, and used the king to have many books written down and distributed everywhere. So to the king, many brahmanas were engaged in writing down the works of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they were sent to all parts of the country for preaching purpose. One time also in Navadvip, there's a history that Jayadeva was living there. And so one day the king decided that Jayadeva was such a great poet. There's written Jayadeva's Dasavatar Stotram, Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Later he wrote that, but he had already written many beautiful poetries. So the king came to his house without any notice. And he came and requested Jayadeva to be his minister in charge of poetry, like court special position of being the official national poet. But Jayadeva, he took offense. How is it that a kshatriya is coming to my house without taking previous permission? You did not send any messenger, you're just coming. So I have to leave here, I have to leave this place. I will not stay here because of this offense. So then the king, he begged, he fell down. He said that, I'm very sorry, in my eagerness to come here, I neglected to follow the total etiquette. Please don't leave my kingdom, otherwise my kingdom will be cursed by having a great brahmana like yourself leave. Said, but you've given your word that you'll leave, that you've already spoken, so I know you have to leave somewhere. So at least leave the city and go across the river, stay on the other side, outside of the capital. I'll give you residence there, and please don't leave my kingdom. So then Jayadeva, seeing the humility of the king, he accepted, all right, I'll live on the other side of the river. And you can come to see me, but not as a king. You have to come as an ordinary devotee, and then we can discuss Krishna consciousness. so in this way, Jayadev left Navadvip and went, which is the present place of Mayapur. He went to the other side of the river, which is the present city of Navadvip, which previously was known as Kuliagram, but he actually went to live in Champa. We call it Champadvip. Champa, what's it called? Champa? Simantur Deep, that's in Ritu Deep, Champahati. He lived there, and the king used to come and get guidance, and after some time, Jayadev went and moved to Jagannath Puri. And there in Jagannath Puri, he wrote the Dasavatar Stotra. So his birthplace was actually in Navadvip, and his residence place. So we can see that even in that the Brahmanas, they kept a very higher position, being qualified by austerities, by knowledge, by performing sacrifices. They were in a higher position, although they lived in a very simple way, in grass huts. And so the kings would go to them, but they had to go very humbly, take permission, they had to take their advice. Here this king Vena, he was a complete rascal. He wasn't taking anybody's advice. He was concocting his own religious principles, changing all the Vedas. He was the number one atheist. But the Brahmanas are still trying to guide him and to give him a good advice. If he doesn't accept it, that's his own misfortune. So nowadays, Prabhupada said, in the world we need real Brahmanas, who are actually willing to work for the upliftment of society. Many people are born Brahmanas in India, but in the Western country there's no born Brahmanas, there's no Brahmanas at all. In India there may be born Brahmanas, but practicing active Brahmanas who are really doing the work of working for society, like these previous great Brahmanas who have simply served for the upliftment of the nation, for the spiritual upliftment of the people, they are very few and far between. So Prabhupada said that in the world we need Brahmanas. Brahmana means that he's working for the upliftment of others. He's giving his life for the upliftment of others. He sacrifices his own time to help the country, to help the world, to help the people, to serve God. This type of people are needed. Unless someone is trained in this real Brahmana consciousness, to how the world will be improved. If everybody is simply after their own profit motive, there's no Kshatriyas, there's no Brahmanas, there's some Vaishyas and Sudras today in the world, practically speaking. So there's a need first for Brahmanas to uplift people, to preach. So Prabhupada said that this Krishna conscious movement is meant to create Brahmana Vaishnavas to work for the welfare of society. Unless people take that sacrifice, unless they're willing to work for the upliftment of others, there's no question of any well-being in the society. So now all over the world, the society is trying to train up people to sacrifice their own energy for the service of the Lord, for the upliftment of the people. To do that is an act of personal bhakti, is an act of sacrifice. To living in a simpler way for a higher purpose. Plain living, high thinking. So in this way, many families are also sacrificing their children to allow them to do this great service. The countries are sacrificing their citizens. Today in the world, there's a high rate of unemployment in many countries. About 10% is not unusual. 6 to 12% is a common average. Why if 5% of the people were engaged in this type of brahminical activity, what would be the harm? Rather, the society would be uplifted. Let some people be actively engaged in this occupation. This occupation where they work for a little, you see, simple income. But they are working for the upliftment of society. This is a career which is also needed. You find in the Western countries, a lot of the parents, in Ireland for instance, they think every family, one son must become a priest. Then their family is blessed. So in Ireland, there's so many, you'll find in India, many foreign missionaries are coming from Ireland only. Because they have this system that every one family should have a priest. If we have 5 children, let one be a priest, one be a doctor, one be a lawyer, like that. Here in India, there's so many children, but hardly anybody wants to let their children be priests. Let them be sadhus, let them preach, let them be brahmanas and work for society. If someone is doctor, lawyer, engineer, businessman, even if he's a TT collector on the railway, they think that something is there. But if somebody, I went to one temple here, and one head priest, he came to see me. And he said, "You're coming from foreign country?" He said, "Well, I'm Indian now, but I'm born in foreign country." So very nice. "Can I ask you one favor?" He said, "Yes." "Please give my son admittance into American University." I said, "Why, you being the head priest, your son can also be head priest." He said, "No, no. I have one very intelligent son. I want him to go to university. He can become doctor. You see, I have one foolish son. He can be head priest. He cannot go in education." So he thought that if you're a failure, you have no ability, then you become priest. If you're very intelligent, then you can go and become, you see, a computer programmer or something. So this is the unfortunate situation. How will our country in India, the most pious land, how will it remain in its spiritual topmost position in the world if some intelligent people are not dedicating themselves to uplifting and preaching and keeping their consciousness alive? Nothing happens without the effort. So this is our problem in the world, that many people are trying to do different things, but very few people are considering the spiritual well-being of society at large. So at least let some people do this service if they're inclined. Most people will not be inclined. 1 out of 100 will be inclined to this service, or less than that. Few people will be inclined, but even a few people can uplift the whole society. So we can see here how these brahmanas, when they saw the king was misbehaving, they thought it's our duty to see for the welfare of society. They're risking themselves, they're going to this king who's known to be very cruel, a tyrant, and they're trying to explain to him his duties. So this way the brahmanas are concerned, they're thinking, what about the welfare of society? And the Vaishnava brahmanas, they're thinking, how about the spiritual upliftment of the whole society? This is actually what's needed, and this is what the Krishna conscious movement is trying to do. Of course, we're encouraging people, even while they're working in society, let them also be Vaishnavas, and in their spare time, let them give some time to Krishna consciousness from their house also. So, in a nutshell, we can see many good advices here from Srila Prabhupada, from the scriptures. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. No time for questions. Okay.